holy shit, holy shit, this is something,
like
new.
Something new. It's something new, something exciting. Oh my God, we need to...
Jinx, jinx again.
They picked us, didn't they?
Straight off the bat.
Our first night there, we'd literally been there, what, an hour?
And everybody was like, what the fuck? Like, we've been here 2 days and not been picked, and then you come in and then you get picked straight away. And we was like, hey, we've got charm. We've got the flirting skills.
We're flirting with these guys. One, two.
Welcome back. It's been nice to...
I'm back.
Nice to see that you had a couple of days off work.
I was really, really, really poorly. I haven't been that poorly for like a very long time.
You grew up in the toilet seat.
I did not have explosive diarrhea. I had the flu. I was really, really poorly. Are you okay, hon?
Yeah. What, you had the flu?
I had the flu.
I thought you had diarrhea.
You're so funny. You're not funny, airing to the world that I've got pretend explosive diarrhea because you think that you're funny.
It was funny, though.
It's not funny.
It was definitely funny, funny.
Telling lies about me.
Anyways, guys, welcome back to the Swing Up Podcast, episode 17. I'm Gage.
I'm Livia.
And what are we talking about today?
Oh, some juicy juiciness.
Oh, are we going to the... backstages of Open House?
Yeah, because
what happened?
Yeah, it's been on for a couple of weeks now, and it's also been on 4OD. So some people have like binge watched it, haven't they? And then some people are like doing week by week. So at the moment, week by week, we are not. We've not been on the actual TV yet, have we? Week by week.
No, because I think we make an appearance towards the end of episode 3.
Yeah.
And then and
main appearance is episode 4, which is
4, 5,
next week, yeah.
7 and 8.
Yes.
So we're in half of the season, Olivia.
Exciting time.
We were slutting out, weren't we,
so,
in Open House?
Yeah, we've like full on binge watched it, of course. Like, we couldn't not binge watch it, could we?
No.
So we've watched like most of it, haven't we? I want to do like all of it because we did skip a little bits and bobs.
Well, we skipped the parts that we wasn't in and then... as you would do, and then we kind of caught up with the stuff wearing. But, you know, overall, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
I'm happy how it's come out. And
I just find myself so cringy when I'm watching myself on TV. It's really, I don't know why.
Do you know the feedback we've had has been absolutely phenomenal?
I feel like there's some really bad angles. I really need to work on the angles. And there's, I just feel like I laugh a lot when I'm really nervous. I laugh a lot. And it's not cute laughing either. It's really ugly. He's really ugly laughing.
It's
and
a it's cackle,
isn't
it?
Oh, God.
Yeah, but so how are we doing this? How are we structuring this?
Do you want to hear my story question first? I've kind of got like a story and a question at the same time.
Okay.
Or do you want to speak about Open
Let's
House?
Let's do the story and the question, depending what it is, and then we'll leave with Open House and leave it on a high note.
Cool.
Cool, let's go.
Cool. Do you want my story now?
I want it all, baby.
You want it all?
Has he got the deets?
Quite, not too much deets, because obviously it's sent in anonymously, and this woman's kind of a bit of like, she wants a bit of advice, and she just doesn't know where to go, so there's not too much deets.
Okay.
Just a generalised, like, kind of story.
Let's go.
Okay. And I suppose it probably happens to quite a lot of people, does this? So it's very relevant.
All right.
Cool. Let's go. Listening? Paying full attention?
You've got my full attention right now.
Are you glad that I'm back?
Yeah.
That was very sarcastic, wasn't it? Did you see his face? Yeah, we'll zoom in on that face expression.
All I'm saying was, like, the last podcast, it were a boys chat.
I got so many messages saying, are you okay letting them too loose? Like, we need a girls chat now.
Yeah.
So I need someone to do like a little girls chat with me, I think. Let's take over. We'll do a girls chat. They can do a boys chat.
But we went into like the depths of the boys.
I've heard. Gage's deepest, darkest moments.
It was just an emotional time. I was experimenting, all right. I was experimenting. Cool. Let's
go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You listening? So, this is from a lady. woman. She messaged me. So my husband, who I absolutely adore, and I have been married for 6 years, together for 8. We recently started exploring and opening our marriage, and things became better between us than they have ever been before. He actually said he felt like he was just existing before, and it ignited something inside him. We were having sex all the time and felt like teenagers again. Literally couldn't leave each other alone. Now I'm starting to feel insecure and question our whole marriage, because if we can't be like that without him having other women to speak to, I don't feel like I'm enough on my own. My options are, I carry on opening our marriage and feel like I wouldn't be enough on my own, or we go back to existing and neither are appealing to me. Have you come across this with anyone before, and what advice would you give?
Ooh.
So obviously, well, not
from
too
a lady.
Much from, yeah, from a woman. Just talking about her and her husband's.
So let's do a little gauge breakdown.
Gauge your bake off.
So they're going to the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. He was just basically doing his 9 to 5, just existing, mm-hmm. nothing. They've gone to the lifestyle.
Yeah.
They've caught the bug.
And it's like sparked something in him.
And he's like, yeah. Wow, fucking hell, this is amazing. Now she's on the back burner going, wait a minute, if we stop doing this, is it going to be like, oh my God, it's the end of us because we had this fun, amazing time.
Mm-hmm. But now she's feeling like she's not enough, and it's the marriage kind of was like they were just sailing along and they've done this now, and bringing other people into the relationship has sparked something. But then she's now feeling, wait a minute, well, why can't I do that in a relationship? Or
do you know
there's
really
101 things going through her head, and I know exactly what she's like thinking and feeling, because I think as women, I always say this, I think we are definitely overthinkers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And from a guy's perspective, he's probably just going, oh my God, I'm having a great time, mm-hmm. and we're living the best life possible. Mm-hmm. While she's probably overthinking a lot of things. Yeah. You women are freaking weird creatures, aren't you? Why do you overthink everything? Why can't you just let it be as it is?
Because we are complex creatures. Not like you guys.
Yeah, we're just like, oh, yeah, fucking having a great time here. That's it. Yeah, but it's not like, oh my God, is he in love with her? Oh my God, he laughed at her joke. Does that mean he's going to run off with her? Like,
my thing is, you are enough. And I think it's nothing about your marriage or your relationship that you've created or this journey that you've been on together for the past 6 years. I think that's all valid. But I just think, like you said before, adding that little spark and that excitement, and it's back to the honeymoon phase again, and it's igniting something. You're just not, a lot of the time when you're in a marriage, in a relationship, and you've been together for so long, you do sail. You're sailing through life, you work, family commitments, friends, like hobbies.
Children,
everything. You are just like, you're kind of just on a treadmill, isn't it?
Cycle of life, isn't it? You posted a really good video the other day on your Instagram. We both watched it. And it was this, she must have been a sex therapist, mm-hmm. On a podcast. And what she pretty much said was, you know, people that are married, you know, that have sex can, you know, when you've been together such a long time, sex with your partner doesn't become exciting. No. It's not that thing of like where you go, you get the jitters and the butterflies and stuff. You just know how each other work, and you kind of, you know, the type of sex you have. Yeah, the sex feels good, and yeah, it's enjoyable and it's fun. Mm-hmm. But when you introduce, and what she said, when you introduce a third or a fourth, that's where this big euphoric explosion happens, because you go back to that point of like when you were teenagers again, going, holy shit, this is something
like
new.
Something new, it's something exciting. Oh my God, we need to
jinx again. All right. But this is why it's called a lifestyle. This is not a thing that you do once or twice and then you can run off into the sunset or rainbows and go, oh my God, yeah, you know, we're going to have this feeling forever. Because it does slowly die away, because like you said, you get back on the life treadmill. Children, work, happens again. And that's why people, you know, continue in this lifestyle, not because they're bored of the partner, but together what they do is they have these experiences to turn around and go, fuck me, that were amazing. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, your first couple swap, your first threesome with a girl, your first threesome with a guy, your first orgy, your first club visit. You get all these new experiences coming in. You know, and it's like there's different things that we kind of fantasize about. And we have conversations about, like, do you know what? We've done quite a lot of stuff, Olivia, and it's kind of going, but what have we not done yet that we want to experience?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, there's still loads of things that we want to do and want to experience in this adventure together. But when we first, I think they're very new into the lifestyle, and I think they are all, like, especially women, I'm like saying it, I'm putting it out there, all our thoughts of, wait a minute, is this because we're adding someone else and he's now saying there's an ignition in him, like this furnace, this like desire to be with her even more, and the sex is amazing, and it's not the fact that you're not enough, and it's not the fact that it wouldn't ever be okay to go back to non-monogamy.
To go back to monogamy.
Back to monogamy.
Yeah, it's built in you. It's
But it's like, it's okay to flip-flop as well, like, and have them feelings, because they are valid reasons why you feel like that. Because at the end of the day, you've been in that relationship for so long, like we'd been in our relationship for so long before we started experimenting. Like, you feel like, hang on a minute, why want our relationship like that pre being in the lifestyle?
But that's because it becomes normal.
Because it becomes normal.
It becomes normal.
We got on our little life treadmill and kind of just been like, to the end goal of retirement, basically, isn't it? Realistically, everybody like works for retirement and works for an end goal of maybe traveling the world when you're 70. But why can you not have that excitement now and enjoy these things together? But
I think from her point of view, from a guy's perspective, like I said, you know, like guys just go in the moment of, oh, this is what we do. Yeah, you know, we meet another woman, it's like, or another guy, and it's like, we're just having a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing much more outside of the box of like, why is, like, say if you picked a single guy, like in my mind, I wouldn't be like, well, why is she picked him? Like, how long have they been talking? Like, what have they been doing? It's kind of like, from me, it's, oh, cool, right, have you picked this guy? Do you trust him?
There's no malicious intent in that sense. So he really enjoys speaking to other women. He's really enjoying opening up the relationship, and that's igniting something in him. There's no malicious intent whatsoever. He doesn't mean to make you feel that you're not good enough for the marriage is...
But from a guy's
guy's perspective, it's like, oh, we're enjoying ourselves. And
from a guy's perspective right now, I'll tell you how he's feeling is that he is feeling true freedom,
mm-hmm.
and he's living the life, because, you know, you can do anything in this world, but, you know, fucking society says once you're married, you stay with that one partner and that's your one partner for life.
Yeah.
That's the only ball and chain that you have. Anything else you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Once you remove that one thing, you know, it's kind of like the apple from the tree, and you eat the apple, you go, oh, okay, we can actually do fucking anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, like looking at it from a guy's point of view and her overthinking it, I think she just really needs to communicate her feelings to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be the case of she goes to him and says, look, I've just had these funny feelings and stuff. Like, I think, you know, if we went back to being monogamous, that I wouldn't be enough because we're on this buzz right now. But then from a guy's perspective, it's kind of like, but why does the buzz have to stop?
Mm.
Why do you have to stop? I know you're feeling insecure that, you know, we're happy like this, but that's what the lifestyle's about.
Mm-hmm.
It's finding them adrenaline rushes. It's about finding them new experiences to enhance your own life with your partner.
I just feel like I always say this is communication is key. And if you are having them feelings, like we've had them feelings and then, especially when we were new in the lifestyle, I had them feelings. And like, even now we went to a club and we'd set up a new boundary. And I was like, I didn't like that. I did actually feel for the first time.
Should we talk about
a little bit jealous?
I don't think we've talked about
it. And for the first time I was like, hang on a minute. No, actually I don't like that. So that's my new boundary. And this is like, what, 6 years into the lifestyle? So, I felt really uncomfortable.
So let's just put some context on what you're talking about for people. So we went to Townhouse and, you know, the story from two podcasts ago, you know, mm-hmm. you found a guy that you were into and I stepped back and you went to go play, mm-hmm. you know, with him. And then, you know, I found like another lady and I went off and then you kind of finished and then came and found us.
Yeah.
But where the boundary lies now is, and I think it's going to be really good to talk about this so people understand like how to set boundaries and how to communicate properly. Mm-hmm. So the boundary, so pretty much what happened is that we was in a threesome with another woman. I could hear you moaning, I could hear her moaning, and I'm stimulated by sounds and I was like, oh my God, this is hot. And I came.
But I'd only been joined in for like literally like 5 minutes.
It would be
like
longer than five minutes.
10 minutes. It felt like a really quick time, to be fair. And this is where I kind of didn't. I didn't like. Obviously, I was really fine with it. Like,
so just back to contact. So I came with this other girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I busted a nut for the boys, right? But then afterwards, you kind of thought about that, and you was like, I did not like you. Basically, coming with another woman. That made you feel really uncomfortable,
but
right?
I have no idea why, because you have done that before.
Yeah.
But because it was in a club scenario and I wasn't in maybe the full scenario.
Yeah, you came in towards the back end.
I came in towards the back end, didn't I? Because I were actually down at the bar with our friends.
Yeah.
And you'd gone, oh, I'm going to go find her. Is that okay? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Go have fun. And then obviously them friends then left and I was like, yeah, that's fine. Like, see you later. I'm going to go find Gage. And so I went and found you two.
Mm.
And I was like, can I join in? Is it okay? Do you want me to join in? I can come back later. And they were like, no, come join in. And then I just felt like I'd only been there a really like short amount of time until it all ended. I was like, oh. Maybe I was like, oh, fucking brilliant.
Yeah, but then we...
But I don't know why, because obviously we've had threesomes, foursomes, and you have been with other women, but maybe because I was there for the full duration, that's fine.
Yeah, maybe you caught the back end.
But because I was only involved in a little bit, like that was kind of maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just a club, in a club environment. I think it's a club environment. Let's talk this out. I think maybe in a club environment,
You want the jizz.
I want the jizz. But if it's in a home setting, hotel
setting.
You blow
that thing off at Lord of Rings.
I'm fine.
My jizz.
My precious.
My precious jizz. I'm drooping it through your fingers. I get that and I understand.
But it was really, really weird situation. Obviously, that was the first time we'd done that, kind of gone off separately in a club and... Realistically, wasn't it?
That was a new experience kind of for us both. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I got the rush of you actually meeting someone that you was into because, like we said before, it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
And then I came off myself on a club environment and I thoroughly enjoyed that dynamic, if I'm being truthfully honest. But, you know, we kind of, me and Olivia have this thing where if we've got an issue with anything, we never speak about it on premises. You will never find us arguing in public. You will never see us having a disarrangement anywhere.
I'm gonna say it sounds like we like argued over that. We didn't argue.
Oh no,
over
we didn't
it.
Argue. No, but we didn't argue. But like,
we never have a heart to heart or a debrief.
A debrief
shall
in
we
a
say.
Club. Yeah, yeah. I'm just putting the context out there. But when we got back to the hotel room, you was kind of like, Gage, if I'm being honest, I feel a bit funny about tonight. And at first, I was like, what did that guy do?
Yeah.
I was like, because I kept popping in and out to make sure you were okay. Safety first, right? And you're like, you're having a blast. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, it was actually with the other girl. Like, you finished with her. And I was like, excuse me?
You
was like,
yeah, you were
I don't
like,
know
really
why.
Confused.
I was really confused. And I was like, what? And he was like, well, I just kind of got really jealous. Like, in pretty much the way you explained it, he was like, that's my cum and she's taken my cum away from me. And I was like, that's fine. I was like, if we need to set up like a rule or a boundary where like I can have like if I have sex with other women but you get the nut That's like, you can keep
it. But like, if we were having a threesome with another woman at a hotel room and I'm involved fully, I don't think I'd be bothered. Because obviously that has happened before. I'm a really confusing rule. Obviously, I have a lot of different rules in different scenarios. Whereas Gage is like, just do whatever you want, Olivia.
But what? And it's one of them things. I mean, it's kind of like, but the thing is, like, when you bust a nut, it's really difficult because you're in that state of mind. Like, say if you were sleeping with another guy, and you were close to coming, I said, look, I don't want you coming on anyone else's dick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how hard would that be? It's hard. It's a hard thing to
do.
It'd
be really easy, babes.
What do you mean?
It'd be really easy not
Why?
To.
Tell
them. Not very many people make me come.
Apart from me. The smell is so
nice. you set that rule for me. That's fine.
No, but I think it's just you know, we kind of. But then, if you know, this is communication, guys. This is how we talk. And you know, if you're kind of looking for the first time on these podcasts, this is how you have proper communications about how you both feel. So back to just how I feel. Now, with that boundary put in place, it kind of puts me subconsciously in a tough area. It puts me in the back of my mind of how can I really fully go and enjoy myself, being a little bit, I won't say scared, but a little bit cautious of, well, you know, if we did the separate room thing again.
Yeah, I think if I'd have not joined in.
But this is what I'm saying. But then you kind of come in, but then like if we're in a group setting and it's...
Everybody's like, she's a fucking psycho.
No, you're not. This is, you know, at the end of the day, we are human and we have feelings. Yeah. And that's what it all comes down to. And that's what communication is. And desires and fantasies, they change all the time. Mm-hmm. Like one thing can turn you on the next day and another day something else can turn you on because we're just human in that sense. But, you know, what would I do to make you... What can I do to make you happy in terms of we're in a group environment and let's say me and another wife playing and you're playing with like six dudes over here, right? Mm-hmm. Am I good to bust a nut over there?
Yeah.
All right. But then we go... The same thing happens again. Like you're chatting to a guy that you're into and you go off and then like I'm trying to warm up bar, then 40 minutes later I go off and you can find me and I'm just about to bust a nut. Is that okay?
I don't know. I think like each time we go to a club and each time we go to a meet or anything, we always have like a little briefing session beforehand, don't we? And I think it definitely depends on the way that I'm just feeling in the night in general as well. I think that's a lot of what women feel differently throughout the month, clearly.
The thing what really turns your mood, and I've noticed this when we go to clubs, is, for example, you know, when you go to clubs, you want attractive men to flirt with you. You want to know that, you know, people actually fancy it and they just don't want to be like, oh my god, Vista wife and Vista wife this, Vista wife that. People will be like, Olivia, you look fucking sexy tonight. Olivia, like, if you're interested, I'm interested. And you want to feel that sexual energy.
If somebody said that to me, I'm like, are we going now?
Yeah.
They'll be like, it's not 11 o'clock yet, it's only like 8:30.
I'm
like, and?
But if people tell you that you're sexy and that you look gorgeous and they're kind of getting the flirt on and stuff like that. But then I've come up with my own rule. That I'm distancing myself from you in clubs. Because that never happens when I'm there. Yeah. I said before, I'm 6'1", I'm quite a broad guy. People can sometimes be a little bit intimidated. They're intimidated by you of your status. They're intimidated by me for my extremely fucking good looks. I'm joking. But, you know, if you're speaking to a guy and I can see there's something there, I'm going to start just kind of not be visibly... I'll be present, but to the point of having another conversation somewhere else. So you can do your thing. Because I hate, say, if we went to a club and you like, do you know what, I didn't have a good night.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't feel like, you know, anybody was trying to flirt with me. I didn't feel like, do you know what I mean? Like, you just want to be flirted on.
That's so funny. Like, we've proper gone off par. Like, again.
Right, back to this lady. What happened to her anyway?
So anyway, she just feels like, they've jumped into the lifestyle and now their relationship and herself, she doesn't feel enough anymore because him speaking to other women is igniting something in. This and like, is, like we were saying, like, I feel like you're forgetting, yeah, you've been married for 6 years, been together for 8 years. And I just feel like if that's the way you're feeling, you need to communicate that with
Communication
them.
Is key, and you both need to come and meet in the middle. Now, I say, if you communicate with that, with him, and he's like, nah, don't be silly, don't be, and he won't sit down and let you go through everything that you're feeling, then he's not on the right wavelength. Because for this to be really successful, you really need to, like I said, like, feelings are important. Like, and I don't, like you, I don't mean to come across like a little light.
Like, you've just understood. You're like, yeah, Olivia literally changes her mind all the time of what she likes and what she doesn't like, but her feelings are valid.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, everybody's feelings are valid in the lifestyle. You really need to just make sure you're validating each other's feelings, communicating everything that's on your chest, because otherwise it is definitely going to turn sour.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So, lady, if you're watching, communicate with your husband about how you're feeling. Make sure you can, like, you know, feed that information back to you and have an open and honest conversation. And, you know, explain, like, you know, the thing, you know, I truly believe once you go into non-monogamy and you catch the bug, in theory, you never ever leave. You just only take breaks.
Yeah.
Because once you've done it once, you kind of go, oh my God, that's amazing. Then you might not do it for, say, a couple of months, but there might be that one night and you go, hey, do you remember what time we did a couple? Sort of like, would you be interested in doing that? Because you're not going from the start again of talking. You've kind of done it and you kind of reminisce about it. So don't say you're going back to monogamy, because let's face it, you're a liar. You're not. Yeah, I'm not sorry, that lady sounded really bad. I'm like, just keep, you're straight out like
just
you know.
Keep them like doors open.
Keep
the
doors
even
open.
Even if you
yeah.
do want to take a break, and close it's fine to have a break from it and step back and just validate feelings and emotions and just get everything up in the air and open and communicate really well, but then kind of see how it goes. And
this is the thing of like you know, like jumping, you know, people go, oh yeah, we're like, we're jumping out of the lifestyle. Like, you're not jumping out, you just basically, you're just existing, you're just living your life and not putting it as a forefront. Like, we've done it before, like, we've gone like weeks, months without playing, but we haven't gone, oh yeah, we're out of lifestyle. It's just like, well, we're just busy. Yeah. But you know, if we went up to Leeds for a weekend, you know, we'd be like, reach out, is anybody free? If no one's free, it's like, okay, cool, no worries, we'll just enjoy our own time.
Yeah,
but it's just an added hobby onto that. But yeah, lady, communicate with your husband, tell him how you feel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Covered? Yeah. And I think it's... And another one is, like, you're not alone. Like, everybody has these thoughts and feelings and...
Can I make a statement?
Go on.
Ladies, listen. Your fellas love you. Your guys are in love with you. Yeah? What's going on with, you know, in the lifestyle? It's a buzz. It's a buzz. You know, for guys, constantly, you know, it's... Guys, you might not think it, but from a male perspective, right... Guys have a lot on the plate. Yeah, you know, they've got to, you know, provide for the families, they've got to work. I know women work too, but, you know, from a male's, how it's widened us, you know, we've got to provide, you know, come home and it's kind of, then you give us fucking odd jobs to do around the house, bit of DIY. It's, you know, and then you're booking weekends away and the guy just wants a break off work and he's, you know, traveling around Centre Parks or fucking Alton Towers.
Or driving the length of Wales.
Or driving the length of fucking Wales.
Like, while passenger princess goes to sleep.
But guys have a lot on the plate. Guys, you might not think this, guys are constantly thinking about stuff. Things like, what could go wrong? What could go right? And it's true, some guys can't communicate properly. Because when they make a decision or they have an idea, sometimes speaking to the partner can fucking really hurt the brain, because in their head, they've got it all figured out. So if, you know, to the lady, if you are going to speak to your guy, just take on board, you know, how he's feeling. You know, he might hate his fucking job with a passion, but he wakes up every day to provide for his family and to feed his kids and to put a roof over everyone's, you know, head. And, you know, if the lifestyle brings out a bit of a spark and it makes you both happy and it makes you both feel like alive, you don't have to go back to the mundane fucking 9-to-5 because you feel like, oh my God, my marriage is going to be over, because it's not. It's not going to be over. What it's done is just give him a new lease of life. And he goes into work going, I can't believe it's fucking, the weekend was amazing. Mm-hmm. And it makes his day a bit better when he goes to work. And he likes to daydream when he's driving his lorry or whatever. it's not a bad thing that it brings absolutely amazing things to your life. And if you're feeling insecure, communicate that with him and then work through it. But there's no need to put a stop to it.
No.
Especially if you're both happy.
Yeah.
Open house, anyway.
Great. Open house. Well.
Hey, I went on a little rant there, didn't I?
Whoa.
Hey, back the fuck up, baby. In my lorry.
So if you guys haven't watched Open House, you will see the one and only Gagey with his todger out.
Hey! Hey!
Fucking todger.
Todger?
So his first episode debut is you running around the gardens playing naked rounders, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And for some fucking reason, they did it in slow motion. And my dick's swinging in the wind and you see me running around. I want this, like, first of all, this is it. If you haven't seen it yet, this is how it goes. Imagine this. Nice breeze, hot sunny day. The sun is bouncing off my gladiator chest, right? What?
What? Carry on.
I go to swat this ball and I fucking miss it, so I whack it with my other hand. Drop the bat and I'm running. Olivia thinks it's a good idea to get in my way. Bad idea, babes. I pick Olivia up. Yeah, my dick's swinging right to left. The balls are all jiggling. Belly fat's juggling everywhere as well. I've got Olivia over my shoulder. Your tits are like proper pushed up because they're against my back. And I'm running like a fucking gladiator to the end. All while Dr. Laurie, that's the redhead doctor lady on Open House, is explaining why people are into monogamy. I thought it was very, very fitting. And that was the first episode for you. Have my dick in your face.
So, yeah, we got approached actually like this time last year to go on Open House, didn't we? And because they were looking for non-monogamous open couples to join the residence.
We nearly didn't go on Open House.
Didn't go on Open House, but I am so glad we did go. And we had to quarantine, didn't we? Because they're like, we're still doing COVID regulations.
Right, can we just make a deal? When you're telling a story, can we just put some more context of what's going on?
What?
Because you went from, we got told, to then we had to quarantine, and then people are going to be like, what the fuck?
What?
You have to put context to your story. So,
you go into too much detail.
No, I don't. Yeah, no, I don't. Do. I have to put context.
This podcast is like going to be 2 hours long if you put context to it.
Right, so this is how you put context to it. So we got in touch by Open House to be on season 2. And we was like, yeah, let's fucking do it. But then what they explained to us is that when we go down, and we can't disclose the location of where it is, but when you go down there, you have to spend the first 4 days in a hotel and you have to quarantine from everyone else to make sure you haven't got COVID or a cold, because everything on location is bubble tight. Like, no one comes and goes apart from like a few runners and all that good stuff.
So we had to quarantine.
I've just said that.
For 4 days in the travel lodge, and we weren't allowed to move out of our room.
But you know what's really funny as well is that we didn't know who else was going to be on this show.
Yeah.
But then we was on TikTok, and then we saw, you might know Hannah and James off TikTok and Instagram. They was doing a lot of TikToks on TikTok
in a travel lodge. And we were like, Wait a minute. They're posting 4 TikToks a day in the travel lodge, and I'm wondering if they're in the same location
as
us.
So we dropped them. We didn't really speak. We followed each other on TikTok, but we didn't really actually talk.
Yeah.
And I remember dropping them a message going, hey, guys, quick question. And they was like, yeah, what's up? I was like, are you guys on Open House? And they was like, because you weren't allowed to tell anybody.
What makes you say that?
And I was like, well, I think we're a couple of doors down from you and we're in a travel lodge for 4 days. They was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And to say we never spoke to them before and we followed them for quite a while and they followed us. Like, we are like best of friends now. Like, we know them so well and we consider them really, really good friends.
Yeah, we have made some really, really good friends from Open House. Like, the best ever people went on that show.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so the fun began when we got let out of our quarantine.
No, we need to get back a little bit.
Oh my God, we're going into where are we going with this story?
Right.
We should have really planned this story then, shouldn't we?
We should have done. Mm-hmm. So what happened was that we had to go down a few days later because obviously of childcare.
No, we were filming with Alice Levine.
We were filming Alice Levine Channel 4. We told Open House a little lie. Yeah, saying we can't make it because we've got no childcare. And they was like, that's fine. But really, we're doing Channel 4 Sex actually with Alice Levine.
We were.
So we got on there 2 days later. So the other guys were there 2 days before us. Anyways, them motherfuckers ate up all the food budget. Yeah, because you'd order food on an app and then the runners would get it for you and then bring it, you know, to your door. All them greedy fuckers were ordering steaks and
from
like,
Miller and Carter's Miller and one Carter. There.
So then, you know, day out there was like, the producer's like, oh, it's so, you know, right, reducing the food budget, we don't have enough cash. And I'm like, me and Olivia are here for another fucking 2 days. What the fuck? Yeah. And all the other guys was like, yeah, deuces, nice one, see you later, we're off to the house. Anyways, the other 2 days pass and we get in. We got welcomed with a big applause. We could be able to cuddle everyone and say hello and all that good stuff. And then the producer was like, right, do you fancy going to your first little cocktail party? And these other guys have been to a few cocktail parties, yeah. You know, because since day one. We was like, fuck it, let's go. So then we go to our cocktail party, don't we?
Yeah.
Guess who gets picked by Ben and Nicole?
If you don't know them, Trucker Baddies.
Trucker Baddies. Well, we got picked.
They picked us, didn't they?
Straight off the bat.
Our first night there, we'd literally been there, what, an hour?
And everybody was like, what the fuck? Like, we've been here 2 days and not been picked. And then you come in and then you get picked straight away. And we was like, hey, we've got charm. We've got the flirting skills.
We're flirting with these guys.
But to be fair, what I think we should do is not going to each every meet at the moment. We'll wait until it airs every Thursday and then we'll go into the deep depths of what really happened behind the scenes.
That sounds good with me.
But what I will say from Open House is we did have a little bit of an advantage, didn't we?
Yeah, I suppose, like, a lot of the couples coming in, you could hear them coming into cocktail parties and they're going, oh my God, is that Mr. Wife? Oh my God, is that Mr. Wife?
And I went my head around like this and I go, here it is, bitch. Come say hi.
Because obviously, if couples are wanting to explore more, they've probably done a little bit of research beforehand, haven't they?
That's what I'm saying. So, like, it's, you know, I remember we getting picked by a certain couple and they was like, well, you know, we've seen you quite a lot on from a certain somewhere. And we was like, well, you know, you can't really say that on the cameras because, you know, it's not a thing that they want to be hearing. Like, all the producers, like, oh, yeah, we picked Olivia and Gage because we follow her on TikTok or Instagram. You know, but I feel like we did have that little bit of an advantage. And I'm glad we did get picked quite a lot. We're in half of the season.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, we had such an amazing time filming it. And yeah, we just have met some amazing people that we still keep in touch with and still chat and
but,
stuff.
But you know, there's probably people out there going, right, so Gage, Liv, how was it staying in that big fancy mansion? It must have been out, like the parties you must have had must have been crazy. Tell them what it was like staying in the mansion, Olivia.
It was amazing.
Lie. Because we didn't stay in the mansion. We got conned.
We did not stay in the mansion. So there's me and Gage complaining about the Travel Lodge. Nothing wrong with the Travel Lodge, but to stay for
there's everything
four,
wrong with the Travel Lodge.
To stay for 4 days and you could not move out of it. So we complained a bit about the Travel Lodge, about staying there for four full days. And then I think they thought, well, if they're complaining about the Travel Lodge, they're definitely going to be complaining about the digs that they've got at the mansion.
So we, you know, we were expecting, oh, we're going to go stay in this mansion because that's what you see, right?
Yeah.
We're going to have like nice big rooms and we can party and, you know, have, you know, and orgies everywhere. No, we turned up and then what they said is your accommodation is off-site and it's about, I'd say about 100 metres away from the actual mansion itself. But what you stay in is like, they're called like production,
called bunker bins.
Bunker bins, that's it. And it's a square room. So, square room. And as you're walking through the front door, you have two beds either side. And then you go forward and end of the bed, you have another door. And you go in, you've got a toilet, a sink, and a shower. That's it.
It's literally a porter cabin.
It's a porter cabin. A square porter cabin split with your bathroom and then two beds.
Google bunker bins.
Google bunker bins. Like, the smallest ones you can find. That's what we were saying.
That's what we stopped in for 2 weeks.
But do you know what? I would not change that for the world.
Yeah, because we were all like... I would have not changed
anything for the world.
But because we were all stopping in these bunker bins, everybody didn't really want to spend much time there. So everybody congregated in the massive, like, tent that we had. So we had a tent set up and, like, sofas and tables and chairs. And, like, we had, like, snacks and tea and coffee there and... Mm-hmm. Like, everybody literally congregated.
The welfare team sat there through the day and, like, told you the plans. But everyone sat there and congregated, and that's where, you know, we'd have a few parties on the nights. Check this. Right, this is how much Olivia goes into mum mode whenever we go anything. This is like, this is... Someone messaged me. No, what message? Who were I speaking to? I was speaking to a friend of mine. And there's an episode where you're in an orgy and you go up to Kirsty and Tom and you sit down and you go... She talks about body confidence issues, and you said, look, you know, when I first started this, I had body confidence issues. You know, my body's not the same. You know, I've had babies, but we're still sexual people and we still want to have sex regardless of how our bodies look. Mm-hmm. My friend was like, did Liz say that for the cameras? I was like, no, that was an actual genuine conversation that you and Kirsty was having. Yeah. I was like, this is how much Liv goes into care mode. We was having a party one night in the big tent, and, you know, after a few drinks, you get a bit peckish, but everyone was like, there's hardly no food, people just kept on drinking. Next thing you know, this car turns up with like 12 pizzas, 12 boxes of like chicken fillets, chicken wings, fries, 8 bottles of Pepsi Max, fucking garlic bread. And I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, production are sorting us out here. Like, yes, production. Liv went, I've just ordered it off Uber Eats, like, we've just paid for it. I was like, what the fuck, Olivia? She was like, I'm starving. I was like, yeah, like, starving. You're going to eat all this by yourself? She was like, I got it for the whole team. I bet everyone's starving.
It was, by the time, since we'd all had dinner, it was like 5 hours. So everybody needs food. Everybody needs food after a little party.
But then what really made me laugh is, like, the welfare director came over and he was like, Liv, just make sure you send us a receipt. We're going to pay for all this, all right? Like, we're going to pay for all this. Like, we'll give you the money back. Did you get the money back? Of course you didn't. Pay us, Channel 4. I'm joking.
Yeah, I just think, I would just have to look after everyone and make sure everybody's okay.
But do you know what, as well, like, being, like, let's, you know, giving people shout-outs and stuff, you know, we had Hannah and James, we had Nathan and Linda from the Playroom podcast, we had Jen and Mark. I'm trying to think of the people that we kind of, there's, like, a group of us, like, a lot of people there have kind of just kind of, like, left, not the group chat, but kind of just not participate as much and not stayed as close. So he's, like, it's me, you, Hannah, James, Nathan, Linda, Jen, Mark, Holly, that are kind of like always constantly in touch with each other. Mm-hmm. But I am so grateful to spend 3 weeks with a group of people that are so motivated and have the same ambition as we do. You know, we went in there not knowing a lot of things to say about OnlyFans, but Hannah and James are fucking ninjas on there. Mm-hmm. And we learned so much about them. And they was like, well, how do you do this? And we're just sharing information and knowledge left, right and centre, and we've come out so much stronger and much more well connected. And I think everybody's like just benefited living
and everybody's amazing as well, because everybody is celebrating each other's success as well. You don't often get that in, like,
no,
this kind of industry.
No,
it's a lot, very, very cutthroat in that sense, but I feel like we've definitely got a really good team there that we're just celebrating each other and just uplifting everybody. And
it's nice that we've got, like, the, like, best friends that you can bang every time you meet. In it. It's just like, you fancy a bang? I'm like, oh, my.
I definitely think open house changed. I think that was the start of changing our mind with friends with benefits.
It did, yeah. We used to separate, didn't we? But then now we're just like,
just,
bang.
It's just very fluid right
are
now.
Are we friends? Yeah, let's bang. I'll go for that.
But shall we come for a cup of tea and, like, go shopping? Yeah, that's fine.
And then bang?
But we now have to separate it.
We separate now?
No, now to separate.
Oh, right, yeah, now separate, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we'll definitely divulge more on our little episodes when they do
it. Yeah, so I think that's the case of, like, you know, what is it today? Is it Thursday today?
Yeah, it's on tonight.
It's on tonight, yeah, episode 3. So we're actually, well, this is going to be Sunday. It actually starts in 5 minutes. So it's Thursday now while recording this. This is going to air on
Sunday.
Mm-hmm. But then what we'll do is we, if we record it early, because we've already watched our episode, haven't we? Yeah. So we can talk about it early to, for it to air on the Sunday.
Yeah.
And do that.
So the back end of episode 3, we're in it?
Yeah, with Nat and Tom.
With Nat and Tom.
Yeah.
Just like having had a chin wag, didn't we?
Well, no, we didn't, did we? We didn't. Let me end the podcast on this.
So some juicy gossip about episode three. So we are going to be on episode 3 this week. And it'll have shown by the time we pop this out. So this is a little juicy teaser happened.
This is it. So what happened was, with Nat and Tom that you saw in the hot tubs with Josh and Holly, they basically said, yeah, we want to basically try and take it further. What happened, to cut long story short, because you'd have watched it by now, while it says, is that you'll find Tom and Natalie, they picked Precious and they went back to the yurt. But did that really happen? No. It didn't.
They also picked us.
They also picked me and Olivia and Precious. And they was like, fuck it, let's go for a gangbang, right? Let's just go for an orgy. Let's just like let loose. And we was like, we're DTF. So we went back to the yurt with them and we're getting all comfortable and we're popping the Prosecco. Yeah.
And then they was like, right, guys, have you had anything to eat? Let's cut for dinner. And we were like, oh, okay, maybe that's a good idea. Okay. So we all like dispersed, didn't we? And we went back down to our bunker bins with our dinner.
So we sat in the bunker bin and then an hour and a half passed. And
Olivia
like,
did a bit of a floaty
head sleep.
What is going on here?
Yeah, so you went for a little nap. And then anything. Anyway, so we got a knock on the door. It was from the storyline director and it was from Warren, who was like the head of welfare. And they said, guys, we need to have a chat. And I was like, oh my God, have I done something that I shouldn't have done?
Yeah, have we said something?
Have we upset them? Are they okay? And they was like, oh yeah, no, it's fine. Just shut up, sit down. And we had that type of relationship. We were quite easy to work with. Yeah. You know, if they asked us to do something, we did it, you know? And they was like, right, we're just going to be absolutely transparent with you guys. This is the deal. And hopefully you can understand. They turned around and went, guys, you've been picked that many times in this show that where this storyline fits with this episode, you are actually somewhere else. And you can't be in two places at once. So you're going to have to basically, you know. And I was like, what, do you want me to just turn them down and just say it's, you know, what's good? And they was like, yeah. And I was like, well, funnily enough, I'm kind of glad that you said that, because me and Olivia were just talking about doing this fivesome and we were speaking to Tom and Natalie about, you know, have they introduced another guy? And Tom was like, oh no, and you know, I've never done this, but you know, he feels this way. And I think it'd be good if we did actually break it up and kind of go, I don't think it's right, because I didn't want to be that person. If Tom didn't like seeing Natalie with another guy, that I'd be that guy that he didn't like. Do you know what I mean? As much as I could bring him comfort. So we went back to the air, didn't we, Olivia?
Yeah, and then I was like, well, I'm not saying anything. I'm going to let Gage literally do all the talking.
I am so glad they did not air it.
So I sat there on the bed in the year.
Cringing
and
into her own arsehole.
I had a glass of Prosecco, like...
And I am sat on this bed and, like, you know, the producers were like, right, just go in there. There was like, the thing is, they're super excited to play with you, and you've kind of like, we haven't told them because we don't know what we're going to get on camera. And I was like, you motherfuckers, I was like, you could have said this to them. And they was like, yeah, but you know it's TV,
they want to make it as natural as possible.
They want to make it as a natural conversation, right? I've never looked like so much of a little bitch in my life yet. Olivia's on the side with a Prosecco crawling into her own asshole because she's cringing, and I'm going, well, bam, bam. So this is your first time with another guy. And Tom's like, yeah, it is. Looking at Natalie, Nat's giving me fucking the come and fuck me eyes. Like, she's DTF. She's like, like, she wants to rip my clothes off. And I was like, look, guys, if I'm being honest with you, you've never had a single guy basically play with Nat before. And I don't think I'd be comfortable if it went wrong, you know, for you to kind of basically feel a bit upset about it. Do you know, I think for your actual first experience of bringing someone into a relationship, we think you should just take Precious and let, you know, we'll leave you in Precious, like, in her hands.
Yeah, we were kind of trying to, like, explain that maybe a fivesome...
might be too much.
Might be too much for your first time.
But then I'm looking at Natalie, and Natalie's giving me the fucking, like, girl, I'm going to fuck you up, I'm going to rip your clothes off, and I'm going to eat your ass, and I'm like, oh, my God.
And then they're like... And we're like, but we really want to meet you outside the experiment. Is that okay?
But then Tom, like, turned around and he was like, do you know what, Gage? I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I was like, deep down, I was like, do you know, I kind of want to do it, but then I don't want to do it. But then the producer telling me that I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I'm glad you've kind of understood what I was saying.
Yeah.
You know, a fivesome's going to pretty much be...
It would have been epic.
That'd have been fucking sick. Yeah, it would have
been good.
It'd have been fucking sick. But, you know, we have to take them into consideration as well and their feelings.
But yeah, we met them.
But we met them anyway at Leeds Social.
Yeah, we met them anyway.
And I bent Natalie over a yellow hippo in a Leeds hotel. Yeah.
But yeah.
Tom's got a huge cock as well, hasn't he? Yeah. Packing. He popped me in the eye. I was like, whoa.
But yeah, it all ended in a happy ending. Hey!
Hey! You better calm down. Yeah. That's it. But guys, honestly, that's it for Open House. We're gonna recap it, you know, every week when we when it airs every Thursday. And we'll recap it on a Sunday and stuff like that. But if you are on Instagram, please follow us at SwingHubApp, and if you're on Twitter at SwingHub. If you want to follow myself at Magic Gage, give me them followers up. You know what I'm saying? And if you want to follow Olivia, it's at Vista_wife.
And also, Open House have got their own Instagram as well, which we
tagged. Oh, yeah. Also, yeah, just a quick plug for Open House. If you actually do want to appear on season three, you know...
They haven't confirmed it yet.
They haven't confirmed it, but they want to put the ducks in a row. They want some feelers out, don't they? They do, yeah. You can actually apply, you know, via Instagram. You can click a link and fill in a form. And I'm sure, you know, if you fit what they're looking for, hey, they might be in touch. You could be on season three of Open House.
Yeah, apply, because we definitely would go back, wouldn't we?
Should we do it?
Should we do it?
Good chat, baby girl. Love you.
Love you too. Oh. Tiger Lily moved to the city. She just turned 21. And then I said, here's my number. Hit me up if you're needing anyone. And then I could be anywhere.